You are listening to the monthly Money Makeover podcast, where Maya and Mapalo talk to the EBSA advisors and their contestants about their six-month Money Makeover bootcamp. You can also follow the journey with City Press, You Magazine, as well as Facebook at CP Money Makeover. In our third Money Makeover podcast, we're talking marriage and money. It doesn't matter how motivated you are to improve your finances, you will struggle to make progress unless your partner is on board. Because if you share a household, you share your finances. So today we share the story of Catherine's money makeover journey.
And Maya, I remember when we were going through the applications, Catherine's letter really spoke to us because it presented so many couples who were struggling to have that discussion about money. And this is what she had to say when she wrote to us, right? She says, "My husband has a fluctuating income and he does not believe in budgeting. He believes it is impossible to budget if he doesn't know what he will be earning that month. This causes extreme tension and puts so much pressure on me because I believe in paying bills on time. I have taken on a second job and trying to create various income streams. It is just all overwhelming for me. I am tired of being the nagging wife, but I know that if we are on the same page, we will do well."
Yeah, I mean, I remember Mapalo and you know, seeing that letter and just thinking, this reflects so many couples. I mean, sometimes it's the other way around. Maybe it's the husband frustrated with the wife, or wife frustrated with the husband. But it also really is about different personality types, and especially different money personalities. So what we did is we actually started off with this with Catherine and her husband Jan, and we asked them to fill in a couple questionnaire. And just by the way, this is available on the Money Makeover page if you want to try it out with your spouse.
No, you should try it out with your spouse.
You should try it out with your spouse. And this really gave them some perspective on their own relationships with money, but also a perspective on each other's relationships with money and why, how their money beliefs were formed and how they grew up with money and all of those things. And so I want to share with you an interview I did with Katrine around what she discovered from this process, and also how already their relationship within a couple of months has started to change, and how they can even now start to talk about money.
I think the hardest of this money makeover thing was the questions that you guys gave us in the beginning when Jan and I actually had to answer. We went through that whole list, hey? We answered each one individually. And the fact that we didn't scream at each other, or that I didn't leave the room or he didn't leave the room, and we actually sat down and did the whole thing, actually gave me hope. But it was hectic to hear how different we are, how different we regard finances.
So give me some examples. Like what really hit you?
His parents just didn't teach him anything about money. They were never taught you budget or you live within your means, or you add. I was brought up in a house where you count your pennies, every 10 cents, 10 cents makes a rand. And you have to look after the money that you earn and you work for your money. Whereas with their family setup, dad just gave, and they were never involved with money ever. So they have no basic understanding of the importance of looking after finances at all. And it's difficult because do you share things with your kids or don't you? But I realize you have to, because you need to make money work for you and not the other way around. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense. And have you found that, so were you able then to talk about, did he acknowledge that and say, okay, I get this, I can see that I come from a different perspective? I mean, what did it help you find a point of discussion? So you had a little bit of a better understanding of him, but did he get an understanding of you?
Definitely. I think, look, money is still not the most fun topic to talk about as yet, especially with Corona. I mean, Jan's work is completely, his income is completely stopped. But we're in a place where we actually can now talk about it. And he's got a much kinder way, and he's got much more, I've got the answers in Afrikaans, but let me just say it in English. He's got a much kinder way of listening to me and understanding where I'm at. So much so that he's agreed to opening a bank account. He's agreed to the credit cards. We had to have a few discussions about that one. But he has agreed that we can now close it, which is huge, because in the past he wouldn't have. So he's coming alongside, but it's still not easy, because at the end of the day, with I think with this whole corona thing, it's really put a lot of fear into people that work for themselves.
Oh, absolutely. It's been an absolute... Yeah. And do you think that that's almost in some way made him realize, many people, I suppose, who work themselves, how important it is to actually manage finances better?
For sure. I mean, he since we've started with the Money Makeover, which I'm very impressed about, he said he's been teaching me things, which is quite great. He said something which you told me as well. He said, Catherine, you have to be realistic. You cannot have a budget of 5,000 for food, because it's not, you cannot make it work. I can pretend on the budget, but reality is I've got to get the reality and the budget on the same line. So we actually talked about it and we agreed 9,000 is realistic for a family of us. Actually 10, but we're going to try and aim for 9. And because I'm more realistic, he's more willing to work with me because the budget is more realistic.
So you really had a meeting of minds, in the sense that, and I think you're correct, because I know when I've met both you and with Jan, and there was definitely this, like Jan saying, there's no way we can come out on that budget. And let's be honest, it wasn't possible. I mean, I know how many kids you have in the family. And I was like, I don't know, that's a pretty tight budget. And finding that common ground allowed you obviously to have a conversation. So sometimes it is just about, but isn't it? It's about talking. And you know, we've created this plan, which I think Riet is going to chat about a little bit later, but we've created this plan, and having a plan now in place, whereas before it was just chaos, having a plan, is it allowing you also to have better money conversation?
I think so. We now have in Afrikaans, I say visie. If you've got a goal, there's a goal, a tangible goal of where we want to go. And I think that helps a lot. But he's talking more than what he used to regarding, okay. And when he goes to the shop, for example, if I say I only need milk, then he comes back with only milk. He doesn't come back with a whole lot of extra stuff like he used to. So we're much more strict in terms of sticking to the plan. It's difficult when the person that you're married to doesn't feel like they're bringing in enough. But what's been so exciting for me is instead... there's been a change in attitude since we've started doing the Money Makeover, because we're actually communicating. The attitude has changed and the atmosphere has changed. And now it's easier, and there's a lighter note to all of it. So it's not where in the past finances was really dark and heavy. Now it's actually, yeah, we've achieved this. Okay, so let's do the next thing. Okay, that's done. We can tick it off. Okay. So there's such a sense of accomplishment when you actually reach a goal, a financial goal. And I think that's exciting. And it's something I think the kids also experience. You know, mom and dad are not so uptight about finances. We can actually giggle, even though it's, you know, challenging times. I mean, because they also hear their friends and, you know, their parents are concerned or whatever. So, I mean, of course, everyone talks, but there's definitely a lighter note in our house, or a lighter atmosphere, which I'm excited about.
So, Maya, I've just found that it's amazing, completely amazing, how by working on a plan together as a couple and having those difficult conversations, I think in the beginning it is difficult, but it does get easier. And that has just made a big difference in their relationship. And it really just goes to show that a couple who does plan together, stay together.
Yeah, let's hope so. And you know, it. I mean, like we said, it starts with understanding that money attitude, which is why the questionnaire was so helpful. But what was interesting for me was I've actually met Catherine and Jan. And what hit me straight away was that Jan has this really fatalistic attitude towards money. And he really has a sense that this is not something he can control. He doesn't believe in his ability to control money. Whereas Catherine's very different. She's a big planner, and she worries about not having enough control. Now, that can also create financial stress in a marriage. One who has this feeling that nothing can be controlled, and the other who's trying to make up for all of that by being even more controlling. So it was very important for them to find that compromise. And I think just that, it's a little example, but just that discussion about the groceries, you know, about, okay, maybe your budget's a little too strict. And if we meet halfway on that, I can buy into it. And that was actually a really good exercise. I think that kicked off a lot of their other money discussions.
Yes, Maya. So for me, I really loved just how they were able to find a compromise between their two very different personalities. And so for me, what stood out as well was eventually Jan was agreed to closing the credit card, which before was not even a discussion point, right?
Absolutely. And you know, it's this... So for them, it was quite a struggle. And I'd seen it right up front. I thought when I met Jan, I thought, he's not someone who can manage a credit card. So for him, it's sort of that it's the money's there. And as long as he's got that available credit line, he's going to use it. And right up front, I said, would you be comfortable with Catherine taking control of that side of it? So you know, you live with, you don't have access to credit. And he found that hard, but I think once that grocery discussion happened, once they started working together, they started to understand each other, they had a plan in place that Riet had put together, then I think there was this understanding from his perspective about how this would all work. And it was very important for them that Jan was able to create a salary fund as a self-employed person so that he could commit every month to providing for the family budget. And I just want to share with you Riet Visser's comments, that she's their financial advisor. You may remember her last year from, she was the advisor also for Amanda. And this is the plan that's been put in place for Jan to develop that salary fund.
All right. We first have to make sure that they have a realistic budget that they can live from, rather than being strict and coming short every month. From here, we could work out how much Jan needed to contribute each month. They had an opportunity to set up all Jan's credit cards from the house they bought. And they also committed to pay each month 1,000 rand in the mortgage for the next 5 years to settle the credit card debt. Jan has opened a business account to pay all his expenses from the business account. What is left will be paid into a 7-day notice account, will be built up a salary. And the ideal is to build up a salary for about 3 months so that he can pay himself a salary each month.
Yeah, Riet, and I think that was so critical, was really about just getting that security that every month that budget could be, that budget that Katrin worked so hard on could be stuck to. And obviously with COVID-19 and all these things, it's got a little more challenging, but I suppose that's really the key principle if you're self-employed, is being able to create a salary fund and then making sure that is kept separate from the business.
And Maya, for me, what I gathered from that clip is that it is so important to keep your business's expenses and your own personal finances completely, completely separate. And that's the number one mistake most self-employed people do when they start a business. And for me, I think it's important because number one, you need to know if your business is actually making money, right?
Exactly. He couldn't tell us that. We kept saying, but if you're having to live on credit cards, there's a problem. Right? There's got to be a problem if you're continuously using, he had 3 credit cards on the fly at the same time. There's a problem. Perhaps the business isn't making the money you think you're making.
And also it creates a big, big problem when it comes to filing your taxes, because you don't know if this was your own personal income or was it the business's. And having all of that intertwined really causes unnecessary stress.
And what was also very interesting is that we've now, the next step is he's actually been offered quite a good contract when lockdown's over, but he's going to need some capital for that. And having set up a separate business account where he's now got his expenses and his income is going to put him in a much better position to perhaps go and get a loan, some capital to put into the new business, it's a contract that he'll have to supply and he needs a bit of working capital. But when it's all mixed up in your family finances and all the rest of it, it's very difficult to go and get that loan. So I think it's also very important that just even separation of your expenses, of your income as a separate business. And that just really will open the doors for you in terms of even finding loans. And we saw that last year, or it was the year before, how many money makers have we done with Howard, when Howard went and actually applied for a business loan for his rental units, those rooms that he rents out. So very, very important.
Yeah. And I think Maya, it really just brings to light that, you know what, if you mix those two together, you're actually putting yourself at a disadvantage. An opportunity can come about. And if it's all mixed up, you can't really prove to the bank that, you know what, I can handle my own personal finances and my business finances separately. So please, if anything, do it so that, you know, when opportunities do come about, you know, you have your story straight.
Absolutely. You know, Mapalo, this is very much, you know, obviously, so Katrine and Jan have been married many, many years. I don't know how many, I didn't ask them, but they've got, you know, teenage kids. But I think these discussions, you know, somebody's listening saying, well, I'm about to get married or I've just got married. How can I set up my money discussions with my partner in a way that I don't end up in a situation one day, you know, with these kind of anxieties? And I know you've written an article about that, so maybe we should just chat a little bit about, yeah, how do you, as a newlyweds, what are the kind of conversations you should be having?
I absolutely love this conversation, and I like to have this conversation with people before they get married. And I always say the first thing, and hopefully you do this even before you walk down the aisle, discuss the types of marital contracts. You know how many people just get into it and they find themselves, oh, we're married in community of property, and they don't know the implications of that on their finances. So I would hope that even before you do get married, one, you need to speak to your partner about the different types of marital contracts that are available to you, right? So now you're newlyweds. It's so supposedly the honeymoon phase. And I think this is the perfect time to start talking about money, because things are still easy. You are developing new habits together. So I think definitely the first thing, you need to set the tone and start talking about money, have conversations about money. And, you know, don't walk in blindly. Discuss your income, your expenses, the debts that you do have, and other financial commitments. For example, if you have to give your parents some money, black tax, that sort of thing.
Well, it's interesting you make that comment about black tax and family commitments, because Nonu, in fact, I've got a little clip from her I want to share a little bit later in this podcast, but she told me that one of the things they've done as a newlywed couple is they've set up a fund, a Stockfell, with her siblings and their partners for the extended family, so that they're not in this dispute around who gets the in-laws and the outlaws, and so they're actually clubbing together as all the family members and spouses to create a little fund. And I thought that was interesting, because they took it even outside the boundaries of the couple, but into the sibling family as well.
I loved how with Nono, this journey has completely spilled over into the rest of her family, not just her and her partner right now. And I bet it's going to change the entire family's life. But another thing, Maya, is when you are newlywed, you have to write down your financial goals together. You know, set goals for yourselves and say, okay, in the next 5 years, what do we want our net worth to be together? You know, I think that's very important. And it really just impacts on the decisions that you take day to day once you've done that. So you've set the foundation, you've said, you know what, in 5 years' time, we want to own our cars completely. You know, we might be debt-free of any credit card, personal loans, those sort of things. It really just directs all the decisions you take day to day. So I think writing down your financial goals together is a very, very powerful thing. But also the most simple thing, draw up a household budget. You know, you need to know what's coming into your household and you need to know what's going out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see this at Money Makeover every time. No one gets their budget correct. When they enter and they, you know, they have to give us a budget as part of the entry requirement, none of their budgets look like that in reality. When they actually have to sit down and go and do a proper budget and look at their bank statements, they all spend more than they think they are. All of them.
But I think it's true, because even in Catherine's case, she wanted to spend very tightly, and her husband was saying, you know what, this is not realistic. So being able to be realistic about your budget, I think, is very important. And I think the last one, Maya, we hardly speak about this as newlyweds or even married couples, give yourself room to breathe, right? If you don't have any debts, if you know you're doing all the right stuff, give each other some sort of an allowance so you don't get to answer for every single purchase in the household, because that will drive you crazy and you don't need that. you are still individuals in your own right. So give each other in your budget, you know, say, okay, $1,000, that's for you to have your coffee. If you want, you buy your shoes, whatever the amount is that you can afford, do that. And it just makes for a healthy relationship.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the questions in the couple questionnaire is it like, how much would you spend before checking in with your partner?
Yeah.
and I think that's a good, that would be a good one, saying, well, and it was very interesting to me because Catherine and Jan had two different numbers. Hers was really low and his was like, I never check in. that concept doesn't occur to me. Exactly. So I think even having that, saying, okay, exactly that, you know, is there a number that we can, you know, that like, you know, I don't want much to explain to my husband why I spend what I spend on my hair. Okay. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure he doesn't want me to have to explain every time he has to spend money on his bike or whatever. So I think those autonomy is important. I mean, you don't have to explain every cent. And I think if you are in a relationship where you feel like you're having to explain every cent, that could also indicate a problem.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some leeway that, look, this is my money. How I spend it is my problem. But Mapla, that also does come back to the marriage contract, because of course you could open up a credit card in your name and spend whatever the hell you want to, never actually mention it, and land up one day saying, oh, by the way, I've got all this debt. And if you're married in community of property, by the way, you've just taken on all that debt for your spouse.
Yeah, so that you didn't even know.
I think
about.
Exactly. That is an important part of it as well.
Yeah.
But one of the other things that I also found in my relationship and my marriage, I don't know about yours, is also having time set aside to discuss money rather than it just becoming part of the daily conversation. Because sometimes, especially if you're tight financially and you're anxious, it starts to slip into everyday life, and there's little snips and there's little aggressive, passive aggressive behaviors, you know. It's setting up time and saying, right, once a month, or if it's once every 2 weeks, we will take some time out and we'll actually sit down, and that's the only time we will discuss money.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, it's not going to be part of our conversation.
I think actually that's a very healthy way of approaching money, especially if things are tight, and also if the way you manage money is kind of different. With me and my husband, we are kind of similar. We actually enjoy talking about money. So we would randomly say, oh, you know, what do you think about this? Should we put it into the budget, or should we put it into our future plans? For example, yesterday we were talking about, okay, it's our 5-year anniversary now in January, you know, let's plan for it. But if that conversation is a bit of an uncomfortable one, I think it's good to have it in your diary to say, you know what, for this period of time, once a month, we get to talk about what's happening and check in and discuss what we wish and that sort of thing. So I think that's a very healthy way of approaching your finances as a couple, Maya.
And I wanted to end off with a little bit of an inspirational clip from Nono, because she really is quite inspirational, isn't she? The way she speaks, she's so excited about Money Makeover. And in fact, we heard from her in our first Money Makeover podcast. So go back and listen to that one if you're wanting to hear more about her. So she got married in December, and she shared with us what it meant for her to have a relationship where she could talk about her finances. So I'm going to end off with this clip, but I want to remind our listeners that they can go onto the Money Makeover website with at City Press, and all of these conversations, all the couple questionnaires, the tips that Mapla and I have put together for you, how to have a conversation with your spouse about money, it's all there.
What I'm enjoying about this journey more than anything, Maya, is the support of my husband. From the day I showed him the Money Maker journey, he said to me, I'm in it with you 100%. And what I've found is that it has brought us closer in a way that I've never understood before. Because marriage is so much more than just emotions, than just, I love you, you love me. When you start talking about money, when you start talking about every area of your life, you bond in a way that you've never imagined. And I wish that someone would have told me about this in advance, because as Black people in particular, we're not very good when it comes to having conversations about money. I feel like, particularly at this stage, as young people, it's so important that we go on this journey together as married couples and talk about money. How are we going to handle money? What are we going to spend on? What? How are we going to budget? For me, this journey came at the right time, right at the beginning of our marriage journey together, and I couldn't have asked for more, honestly.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.